Welcome to Just the Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Today, we are joined by the distinguished chef from Chicago, Wook Kang. Wook Kang is a chef instructor at Kendall College in Chicago. With an appreciation of food from all cultures, Wook has held positions at prestigious restaurants throughout Chicago, which led him to share his knowledge and experience as a culinary instructor today. He also served as program chair and director at Le Cordon Bleu. He holds certifications through the ACF as a certified executive chef, master certified food executive, and certified food and beverage executive. Today, we'll learn a lot, not only about preparing inspiring cuisine, but also how to inspire students as well. Wook, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. So you're a chef instructor right now. I would imagine that mm-hmm. takes up a significant amount of your time. What do you, does it? Am I right?
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about being a chef instructor and kind of what led you to that path?
So for me, it was a path that I really kind of maybe thought about, but never really thought that I would do, essentially. It was something that I've always wanted to do, but I didn't expect to do it as quickly as I thought I would. For me, when I was younger, I really wanted to be a teacher. And I've actually thought about becoming a Spanish teacher. But I've never seen really many male, let alone Asian Spanish teachers. So I really kind of thought to myself, what else would I like to do? And food was always been something that's been near and dear to me. And, you know, when I was kind of going through the different parts of the industry, just there was always something about becoming an educator and a teacher that has allowed me to kind of follow this path, because when I was in culinary school, I've always enjoyed my instructors, and I've always enjoyed just the effect that I've received from the instructors that I've had, and I've never really forgotten that. And when there was an opportunity for me to become an instructor, that really started to become my philosophy. You know, what would I really want students to get out of from each class that I teach? But you know, for me, becoming an instructor, it's one of the best jobs that I've ever had. It brings me a great deal of joy, and I really consider it a blessing that I can work at a great culinary school and teach wonderful students on what they're passionate about.
That's great, and you know, we kind of joked a moment ago about the time, but how do you balance, you know, teaching others, but also, you know, perhaps, you know, creating your own inspirational foods or you know, what other, when you're not instructing, I guess, what else are you doing related to, you know, using your talents?
I really enjoy dining out. And now you may think, well, what does that have to do with you cooking? For me, dining out really allows me to gain a different perspective. Number one, it also allows me to see what's quote-unquote current in the industry. It also allows me to see what type of ideas that chefs are concocting at this point in time. And what that allows me to do is, yes, the students will have a set curriculum to follow, but then now I can have an added value piece to their learning outcomes. It's something that I could impart to them with the cuisine that they're learning or in the program that they have. And when I look at what other things that I do, it's also me keeping current with my certifications. My certifications allow me to almost discover, and it also allows me to seek out new different opportunities to help me grow So I'm always looking to see what type of classes that I can take as well. It's not something where, and I tell this to my students all the time, just because you finish with school doesn't mean that you know all that you need to know. Because even for myself, and I know this sounds very corny, but I do see myself learning every day with a new topic, even within food. But for myself, it's really more looking to see what other opportunities are there for me within this industry that allows me to kind of give back to my students. That's kind of how I usually like to frame the way that I go about things.
So I'm going to try and deconstruct my thought here a little bit, but
okay.
If you look at a lot of education, it can get narrow really quick, right? If I am studying economics, I mean, I'm sure someone will dispute this, but there aren't 100 classes I could take on economics. I mean, at some point you've got the theories locked in, you know, and however, with cuisine, it's endless, right? I mean, it is literally endless. Every restaurant is different. Really every fusion is different. Let's try this. What classes are you teaching now, and how do you instruct, knowing that what you're doing is you're not telling your students, hey, go do this. You're just trying to inspire them almost as artists later on to create their own. So how do you reconcile that?
Oh, that's a great question. Right now, currently, I am teaching the fine dining restaurant class. So this is the last student that the students take before they finish their program and they go out for their internships. And for this class, I create the menu. And what I instruct the students on is, number one, how to follow direction. And number two, how to use what we're learning in class for them to be inspired. So I'll give you an example. The menus are not necessarily created from the students, but it's created by me. And one of their assignments is to create a special. And the beauty of it all is the students will see how it operates, and it also allows them to see what they can do based off of a prepared menu. So depending on where they work or wherever they work, they can understand that this is the philosophy of the restaurant. This is the philosophy of the chef based on the menu and perhaps the concept. And then they can work around that and utilize what is available to them to then create something that will still fit in. Because that really is a hard thing to do. You know, I think when you look at anybody, and I could ask you or I could ask my friends that are non-chefs, and I can ask them to create me something, they'll probably always just create something that they know. But if you've took somebody out of their comfort zone and now they're in a completely new environment and you ask them, create me something, I think that's really where you'll see a lot of creativity. And that's where I think you'll also see a lot of, I would say, things come out. You'll see a lot of the students that are very, very innovative in the things that they create. So the menu that I currently have is a contemporary American, and there's a lot of Asian flavor notes in that as well. And a lot of students then see what's on the menu, and then they also try to relate it to what they want to do as well, because the students also come from a lot of different backgrounds. We also have a lot of international students. So a lot of the international students want to make something familiar, but they also want to make it connected with the current menu. And the things that they've created was just so beautiful. And for me as an educator, it's so wonderful to see that they're able to do that. And I think that is an inspiration to also me. But I know that the students get a lot of ideas, and students also get a lot of input, not only from myself, but also from their previous instructors. But I think it's really just a culmination of things. You know, I think when you look at education And all that's available to the students, particularly in culinary education, I think it's a lot of skills that's not necessarily black and white. Problem solution is needed to be sought out, as well as critical thinking. And there's also a lot of instances where students are required to kind of think on the fly. And when you look at when scenarios happen, just in everyday life, but particularly a restaurant, when a customer does not like something, the student has to be thinking really quickly, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? And that's where a lot of the students will then kind of understand their role and understand themselves.
So a couple of thoughts. One, as a consumer, which I am first and foremost, I think that we don't necessarily have enough appreciation for the education that a chef goes through, right? Because we don't see it. We go to a restaurant, we pick right. food. If we like it, we like it. If we don't, we don't. And, you know, we move on or we Yelp it or that's pretty much it. But I'd love to try and flip my own mindset and try and when I'm eating food, try and think, what is this chef trying to accomplish here? You know, why are these ingredients, why are these flavors coming together? Because it really is, it's a personal creation by an artist. But it's also interesting, you're not just teaching people about flavor and food, but you're also trying to truly prepare them for the restaurant business itself, which has restrictions to it if you want to look at them as restrictions or you can look at them as opportunities. But you're preparing them for success, not just for, hey, do you know what pairs well?
Correct. Right. Because a lot of the students, they want to do more than just restaurants. And the college also prepares the students very nicely for different avenues within the culinary and hospitality industry. So I think for anybody that are very interested in food, there's so many different opportunities besides restaurants now. And a lot of people, I think, understand that. So when they go to culinary school, it's a different mindset now than it was even 20 years ago. People will now go to culinary school, not just to open a restaurant or manage a hotel, but now, hey, what else can I do? I want to be a research and development chef. I want to be a food stylist. I want to be a food writer. So the education piece with culinary is really broadening now.
So obviously, one, you have a clear passion for teaching, and you obviously, I can just tell, feel that your education and your certifications played a significant role in developing who you are and the success you've had. What advice would you have for someone starting out today as an aspiring chef? Do you consider formal education almost mandatory? What would your advice be?
I will say, depending on what a person wants to do. So say someone wants to be a restaurateur or someone wants to be the world's greatest chef. And this is just my opinion. I truly do believe that culinary schools provide a lot more than just maybe a class that someone would take as a recreational class. And I feel that culinary school truly does now prepare students really for the next step, because I think it also is a good stepping stone for a lot of individuals that have never entered the hospitality industry. I can speak for myself. I went to culinary school. I loved culinary school, and I truly loved the experience, and I think it truly helped me in the places that I've wanted to work at. And it also allowed me to understand a broader role on what's available for me as a graduate of a culinary school. So for me, I'm a big fan of culinary schools. I think it's also should be important to a lot of individuals that want to become at least someone that wants to make a career in food. Because I think now it could be almost looked at as something that's mandatory. You look at a lot of organizations, you look at a lot of different businesses, and one of their requirements is, depending on what the title is, that they require a food certificate or they require a culinary degree. And I think for anybody that wants to do more, this is a great stepping stone that will just open doors for a lot of individuals, particularly those that are really looking to see what the next steps are. You know, if you're born into a restaurant family, that's a different story. But I think even still, culinary school does provide a lot of not only options, but also another learning component to it, because there's a lot of culinary school graduates that also come from restaurant families. You know, in my previous line of work, I've had a lot of students that their families had restaurants, but they also went to culinary school. I mean, the children did, because they also valued, and the parents also realized that there is more to it than they have thought of. So for me, culinary education, particularly culinary schools, are very important. And I think if you want to do more within your field, I think certifications are important too. And I guess it depends on who you ask, but for me, it truly has helped me. I value the certifications that I have. I've worked hard for them, and I also work hard to maintain them. And I think for any chef or any professional that takes pride in their work, I think they'll probably agree with me that the certifications are something that could be not only a source of pride, but also a source of marketability.
To be a lifelong learner is important, or you're going to miss the trends, you're going to miss the boat on what's out there. So switching gears a little bit, you have a Korean heritage. How has that influenced the creations that you make?
You know, that's such a interesting question, because growing up, I really did not look at Korean cuisine as something that I would ever use. I was born in Korea, and I lived there as a kid. And when I moved here to the United States, it wasn't something that was quote-unquote popular. And it wasn't something that you always saw in, you could say, the mainstream media, but also just in everyday life. The restaurants that were available were either American, or you had your small Thai restaurant, or you had your small Chinese restaurant. Not to say that there weren't any Korean restaurants, but it wasn't a place that a lot of my friends went to. They would go to the chain restaurants or just the local American restaurant. And growing up, I've always loved Korean food, but I never thought it could be something that was a huge explosion. And it wasn't until maybe about 6 years ago that I really started to implement that in the food that I've created. And there's a lot of Korean influence in the menu that is at the restaurant currently. And for me, it's also the way that I've evolved. And Korean cuisine has a big impact on the food that I cook now. There's always some components of Korean flavors in most dishes that I create. One example can be there's a salmon dish that I created and put on the menu. And the salmon dish has what's known as samjang. So samjang is a combination of miso, Korean miso, and gochujang, which is a chili paste, but I've made it into a compound butter. And so that is kind of brushed against the salmon, which is served with sweet potato purees, green beans, and there's also a Thai curry sauce, and there's also a lemon foam. But the major flavor component of that dish is not necessarily the Thai curry, but it's really the samjang. And for all the other dishes that I have created and placed in, and just everyday things that I cook for myself, I really take on a lot of what I've eaten as a kid, and I've also placed that as a major influencer on the dishes that I create. And I found that people really enjoy it. And when the first time that I did that, I was kind of shocked because a lot of my friends never really had Korean food, and they never were, I guess, introduced to it before I did to them. So I think it was always a pleasant thing for me to really see that someone is truly appreciating a part of my heritage and a part of my culture, and they want more of it. And I think that was really when I started to look at, hey, this is something that I can kind of make a bigger impact on. And from that, I've started to do a lot of presentations. For the past couple of years, through the American Culinary Federation, I've done at least three presentations on specific components of Korean cuisine. First one was a presentation on Korean cuisine itself. The second one was on kimchi. And this past month, I did a presentation on a classical interpretation versus a modern interpretation of a Korean dish. And that was a really great opportunity to showcase Korean cuisine. I had a very great audience, and everyone truly enjoyed it. At least that's what they told me. But it was something that really made me proud. And it really also allowed me to think that this could be something that can really take off, because Korean cuisine really is taking off right now.
And I want to get into that a little bit more. You mentioned that salmon dish at the restaurant. What restaurant is that at? Partly because I'm gonna get on a plane and go eat that right now, because my mouth was watering.
This is the dining room at Kendall College. It is a Michelin recommended restaurant, and it's a culinary school. Yeah, how great is that, right?
That is very cool. So you mentioned a few ingredients there, but let's break down what the hallmarks of Korean cooking are, and specifically how it's distinguishable from other Asian cuisines such as Filipino, okay. Japanese. I mean, it's easy to over-regionalize, I think, and
group
things together. So how can we understand Korean food better?
Korean cuisine, like you said, does vary from region to region, and it does even differ from province and province. I mean, one similarity we can find is that if you compare Korean cuisine to American cuisine, each region will eat differently, and Korean will be no different, but the basis is that rice is the focal point, and that's similar with a lot of Asian cultures. But with Korean cuisine, one particular note that's very different is that it's usually always accompanied by what's known as banchan. And we can kind of use that as either condiments or side dishes. Rice is the main meal, and everybody always gets their own bowl of rice. And the banchan, or the side dishes, they're all usually meant to be shared. And a lot of the dishes have similar flavor notes. A lot of the dishes are not always particularly spicy. I think when you look at all Asian cuisine is spicy, not necessarily true. It just really depends on the dishes. But Korean cuisine also can be classified where most dishes are spicy, but they all don't have to be. One common ingredient and one particularly famous ingredient or dish in Korea is kimchi. And that's usually a dish that can stand alone, meaning it's a good dish that can be used to exemplify on how different Korean cuisine is from, say, Japan or the Philippines or Thailand, because it's unique in what it is. It's not necessarily unique that it's using cabbage, but it's a complex dish that uses a lot of fermentation techniques, and that it's a dish based on preservation. A lot of the dishes in Korean cuisine tend to be preserved. because you have to look at the climate and the weather. But Korean cuisine is not necessarily meat-focused, very similar to a lot of the other Asian cultures. But Korean cuisine has evolved so much now, and that there's so much outside influences in Korean cuisine that you have this new wave of modern Korean cuisine, which we can get into in a little bit. But if we wanted to classify the major differences between Korean cuisine and Asian, other Asian cultures and cuisines, is that Korean cuisine is basically largely based on rice, vegetables, and some meats. It's usually where you have one bowl of rice per person, and you have a wide range of assorted side dishes or banchan that's served with every meal. And usually common ingredients are things like sesame oil, doenjang, that's the fermented bean paste or the miso, if you will, soy sauce, garlic, ginger, and pepper flakes. And those are all common ingredients that are used for a lot of the different types of banchan. But Korean cuisine is traditionally, it's based more of vegetables than it is meat.
I am not eating enough Korean cuisine. That's clear from those descriptions.
I will say, Korean cuisine is surprisingly good. And I say surprisingly because I think a lot of people are afraid of it. You know, people are familiar with Chinese food, and people are familiar with sushi. Korean cuisine is very different because it's just not eaten the same way. And the preparation is just so different from those two major Asian countries that I think people feel intimidated by that. But you can start out small. Next time, if there's something available, try bibimbap. It's a very safe dish to eat, meaning that it's a lot of different assorted vegetables. It's basically a rice bowl. And I think that could introduce a lot of people to kind of start on the right foot.
That's probably where I would start. I'm not as adventurous as some, so I think that you've inspired me as a teacher to go ahead and step out. And I know here in Southern California, there's a lot of opportunities that I need to be taking advantage of.
Awesome.
You mentioned that Korean cuisine itself is you know, evolving and being influenced. Here in the United States, of course, there's any number of fusion food restaurants popping up everywhere. Is this something we should embrace, or are they kind of middling cop-outs? Do they compromise the cultural strengths of a particular cuisine? I know it's just opinion here, but how do you feel about fusion as opposed to, you know, something maybe a little bit more pure, so that you can, rather than take the end around to try Korean cuisine, which would be, you know, I don't know, Korean and Southern American barbecue or something like that, as opposed to just going right at it and gaining an appreciation and understanding of Korean cuisine? Where do you kind of see fusion?
So in the United States, probably like 30 and close to 20 years ago, there was a big wave of fusion restaurants. And particularly in Chicago, I've noticed that there was many, many popping up in the late 90s and early 2000s. And you don't see that anymore. And I think what ended up becoming was that a lot of the restaurateurs or a lot of the cooks or chefs, they wanted to capitalize on something that was very trendy. Now, with that said, a lot of those restaurants are not necessarily in operation anymore. And I feel I understand why. And this is just, like I said, my opinion. I think it's because the philosophy was never there and the pairings were never there. Now, if you look at quote-unquote fusion restaurants now, it is very different. And I think it's something that we can accept Because as similar as it was to maybe even 20 years ago, I think the chefs understand how to use these ingredients in the right way without, number one, disrespecting the culture and the heritage of the food, but also in the way of honoring those traditions and flavors with, at least to the American palate. Because our country is such a big melting pot, and really a lot of our dishes are also a fusion, if you will, meaning American dishes. They are really more fusion than I think people give credit for. But for a lot of the fusion restaurants that are available now, I think it is going to be a continuing trend. I also think that it's going to be a continuous wave that really won't stop because we have so many different influencers in the culinary industry. We have so many chefs from so many different backgrounds, and we have so many customers that are interested in eating and experiencing the newest thing that really everything is becoming one. I know that a lot of French chefs, they're using a lot of Asian ingredients and vice versa. And you'll notice that a lot of the trendier restaurants, they're borrowing ingredients and they're borrowing flavors from other cultures and putting it on their tasting menus. And I think when the appreciation and the flavor combinations are paired well, it is a beautiful marriage. I think what has happened before with the restaurants that were marketed as fusion many years ago was people would just hodgepodge or just intermingle random ingredients from two cultures and then put it on the menu. I mean, it's like me putting soy sauce on roast chicken and calling it Asian style. You know, and I think when you do that, it doesn't really mean anything, and it doesn't really give a good pairing. There needs to be more thought placed into the food. So I think a lot of the chefs now are more thoughtful on the flavor pairings. They're also more respectful to the traditions and flavors of different cultures. So when they are intertwined or when they are cooked together, you have this wonderful food pairing that maybe never could have been created before. I mean, you look at in California, you know, close to the LA region, there's a big, big wave of food trucks. And one particular chef, his name was Roy Choi, he had Kogi trucks. And I'm not sure if you've ever had one or you're familiar with one. I know they have like a brick and mortar space now at the LAX, but Kogi is basically a Korean taco. You have Mexican flavors with Korean flavors, and that was really kind of the biggest waves that really catapulted Korean cuisine. And I think because of that, it also allows chefs to experiment a lot more with different types of cuisine.
Here in San Diego, I don't believe that has made its way down here, but that needs to hurry up.
Okay.
because that, I think your students, I hope they understand that as an instructor that you're a treasure, because just the way that you
define your food. Oh my
God, you're too nice. Yeah, the way that
you're defining
your food.
You get a free class.
I want the free salmon.
Okay.
Just the way that you define these foods and your passion just comes through and you're taking kind of complicated ideas about food and making them really simple to understand. They must be really lucky. So you're young, you're talented, you're inspiring. What's next for you?
For me, I know it sounds weird. I would love to always be a part of culinary education in any capacity. That is my goal. I always believe that everybody's always meant to do something, and I always believe that everybody has a special role for them in life, and I hope this is mine. I've done this for quite a few years, and I've always I've always loved it, and I would love to be a part of it for as long as I live. And that's my goal. Besides, get married and have a few kids, you know.
Don't rush.
Right.
So you found your passion. Your calling. It's clear. And I said, I think the students are very lucky to have you. And I would love to, when I get to Chicago again, to sample, you know, your creations, because you just have a real interesting grasp on the appreciation for food in different cultures, particularly, and your upbringing contributing to that. So I want to thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the value of education is clear after speaking with you. Not just in your marketability too, but you know, in expanding horizons and understanding of food. And yeah, I think it's wonderful that we have individuals like you that are bringing, you know, different flavors and Korean cuisine. And I'm not going to attempt to try and recite any of them. I was going to write down there that what was the one you recommended I start with? I am asking that again, actually. What was the one that I need to start with as me not being as adventurous?
Bibimbap.
Okay. Okay, you're going to have to spell that for me.
Yeah. It's no problem at all. It's Bibimbap. It literally translates to mixed rice.
Okay. I'm going to start there, and I'm going to make a point to do it soon because I need to expand.
Let me know what you think, too. I'm serious.
I will. Bibimbap, mixed rice. Again, thank you for joining.
It's so much for having me.
From someone that's, you know, inspiring the next wave of chefs out there. So thank you.
Thank you again.
All right. Best of luck as you continue your journey, Will.
Thank you, Scott. You have a good one.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, the Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. As always, visit chefsbest.com to learn more.